Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, October 17th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Doubts grow about a Brexit deal as a summit gets underway in Brussels. We are live in Europe with the latest.
Netflix shares rally as the company eases investor concern with its latest quarterly report.
And bank earnings continue with Morgan Stanley reporting this morning.
President Trump met with House and Senate leaders at the White House, and it didn't go well. Plus, calls continue toward Turkey for a ceasefire in Syria. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Yankees and Astros set to resume the ALCS tonight at the stadium after last night's rainout. The Giants are getting two weapons back for Sunday.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It's coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street. Futures this morning are moving higher, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 2 points this morning. Dow futures up 13. NASDAQ futures up 7. The DAX in Germany, little change. CAC in Paris down 0.1%. FTSE 100 up 0.4%. Nikkei 225 in Japan is down about 0.1%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.74%. Yield on the 2-year 1.59%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9% or 49 cents at $52.88 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% on $1.80 to $14.92.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1092 against the dollar. The yen is at 108.83. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with a pivotal meeting in Brussels that could determine the future of Brexit. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. It's the Northern Irish Democratic Unionist Party who are emerging as the roadblock to a deal. They've raised a series of concerns about the current agreement. The British and European negotiating teams working intensively to finalise a legal text in time for EU leaders to sign off at the summit that starts today. Failure to strike an agreement this week would plunge the UK's divorce from the EU back into chaos. We've had Germany's Merkel saying she's ready for an extra emergency summit if needed. In London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. In Asia, it was a pretty muted session as investors digested the unexpected drop in U.S. retail sales and what that means for the health of the global economy. We get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Stocks fell in Tokyo, Sydney and Seoul, rose in Hong Kong and were little changed in Shanghai. Real estate stocks led the charge in Hong Kong as Daiwa and Citi indicated the sector has more room to run in the wake of new government initiatives aimed at unleashing pent-up demand. The Aussie dollar climbed as Australia's unemployment rate fell to 5.2%, giving the RBA some breathing space. The Singapore dollar traded in a tight range as exports fell again in September, notching up the longest run of export declines since 2014 and backing the central bank's decision to ease policy. And in Taipei, TSMC's third quarter results and fourth quarter sales outlook topped expectations, although shares did retreat from near record highs. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. HSBC may partially exit stock trading in some developed Western markets as part of a cost-cutting drive by interim CEO Noel Quinn. Sources say equity sales and trading units in France, Germany, the U.S., and the U.K. are likely to be scaled back. HSBC's Asian equities operation is not affected by the review. The lender makes the bulk of its earnings in the Greater China region.
On the earnings front, shares of Netflix are up more than 8% this morning. The company gave investors just enough good news to let them breathe a sigh of relief. More on the quarter from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
The streaming video company posted slightly better than expected subscriber growth overseas in the third quarter, making up for a far smaller gain at home. Earnings also topped Wall Street estimates, helping investors look past a tepid forecast for the final quarter of the year. After a disappointing quarter 3 months ago, investors came in with lower expectations this time around, and Netflix cleared that bar. The world's largest paid online TV network signed up 6.3 million new users outside the U.S., beating forecasts. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. On the flip side, shares of IBM are down nearly 5% in early trading. Third quarter revenue missed Wall Street estimates, marking the fifth consecutive quarter of shrinking sales at IBM, while analysts had been looking for signs that Red Hat, which was incorporated for the first time in these results, would change the narrative.
Alcoa reported a quarterly loss that was worse than analysts predicted, but the stock rose 2% in late trading after the biggest U.S. aluminum producer said it plans to sell up to $1 billion worth of non-core businesses in the next 18 months.
And earnings continue today with banks still in focus. Morgan Stanley reports this morning, and Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
It would bode well for Morgan Stanley meeting its full-year targets if the bank holding company's wealth margin held at the higher end of its range in the third quarter. Bloomberg Intelligence says that may be the case, and trading performance in the context of its peers will also be a focus. There's a potential for market share gains after Deutsche Bank's pullback. Forecasts are for Morgan Stanley to post an adjusted profit of $1.10 a share on revenue of nearly $9.6 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Housing starts probably edge lower in September after soaring at the fastest pace in more than a decade. The Commerce Department issues the data at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
In August, housing starts rose to the highest since 2007. Bloomberg Economics says lower mortgage rates have been providing a boost. At the same time, uncertainty about the economic outlook could limit growth, weighing on both builder and buyer sentiment. For now, though, builders are upbeat. This month's Home Builder Confidence Index advanced. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. An end to the General Motors strike could still be a couple of weeks away. Today, local officials of the United Auto Workers will decide whether to have their entire membership vote on a tentative deal. They'll also decide whether the 48,000 striking workers will go back to their jobs before the deal is ratified. The GM strike has lasted more than a month.
Four drug companies are close to a landmark settlement in the U.S. that would resolve thousands of opioid cases. Bloomberg has learned that McKesson, Teva, Cardinal Health, and AmerisourceBergen could end up paying out more than $50 billion in cash and addiction treatments. A federal judge in Cleveland has summoned the company's CEOs to a meeting tomorrow. And again, futures this morning are moving higher. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right. Thank you, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to get a check of what else is going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. And this is breaking news. Congressman Elijah Cummings has died, according to multiple reports. A statement from Cummings' office reads, the 68-year-old congressman died at Johns Hopkins Hospital due to complications concerning longstanding health challenges. Of course, we'll have more on this story as it develops this morning. A senior U.S. delegation is on its way to Turkey to pressure Turkish officials to accept a ceasefire in northern Syria just hours after President Donald Trump declared the U.S. has no stake in defending its Kurdish allies. Vice President Mike Pence is heading the delegation that includes Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. They are set to arrive in Turkey today. Democrats and Republicans have criticized President Trump's decision to pull U.S. troops from northern Syria, including GOP Senator Mitt Romney.
Secretary of State and the Vice President are on their way to meet with Mr. Erdogan. Look, the horses have left the barn. The decision was made to pull our troops out of Syria.
It was the first face-to-face meeting between President Trump and Democratic leaders since the impeachment inquiry was launched, and it did not go too well. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has the story.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says it started with Trump claiming he never invited any of them there. The House had just passed a resolution nearly unanimously condemning Trump's Syrian pullout, and she says he engaged in
a meltdown.
The Senate's top Democrat, Chuck Schumer, says Trump suggested they'd get along with ISIS members.
There are communists involved, and you guys might like that.
And when Trump insulted Pelosi, second in the presidential line of succession as a third-rate politician, they walked out. House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy echoed Trump's sentiment.
The Speaker tries to make everything political.
But Republican Senator Lindsey Graham was also having none of Trump's assertion he should hold his tongue.
And I will not ever be quiet.
Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Congress held a hearing on ride sharing yesterday without some of the major players snubbed by Uber and Lyft. A House committee went ahead with its hearing on safety and employment issues plaguing ride hailing companies. Members of the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure noted gaps in the way both companies screen their drivers. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:09 on Wall Street, and it's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, the skies will be clear tonight, and the Yankees and Astros will be able to play Game 4 of the ALCS starting just after 8 o'clock. But because of last night's rainout, different starting pitchers than had they played last night. Both teams were planning to use their bullpens, but now the Game 1 starters, Masahiro Tanaka and Zach Greinke, have full rest. They will oppose each other. When they did so this past Saturday in Houston, Tanaka was outstanding with six scoreless innings. Greinke was not. His ERA in two postseason starts is over 8. Although he's normally a much better pitcher than that. Hall of Famer Frank Thomas, part of the Fox pregame show, and he was asked who last night's rainout favors.
In October, pitching is going to dominate. You just saw that with the Nationals. The Astros has a little edge. I think the Yankees bullpen is better, but the starting pitcher edge goes to the Houston Astros. And this off day here is going to help them line the rotation back up with Greinke and Justin Verlander once again. So the back's against the wall for the Yankees right now. They got to come out and be that home team right now to find a way to win against these top starters. So Yankees, they could find themselves out of this thing before Game 6.
Game 5 tomorrow night will start just after 7. World Series starts Tuesday, Washington in either Houston or New York. There were 8 managerial openings. There's now 7. The Angels, in an expected move, hired Joe Maddon, formerly with the Cubs in Tampa Bay. He was a longtime coach with the Angels. Mets still looking, said to be interested in Eduardo Perez. Like Aaron Boone, he would be coming from the ESPN broadcast booth. Good news for the Giants. Both Saquon Barkley and Evan Engram have healed from ankle and knee injuries. Will play Sunday against Arizona. Wide receiver Sterling Shepard limited in practice after his concussion. Jets unlikely to get linebacker C.J. Mosley back for Monday's game with New England. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
And, John, at least one team is not happy that the Washington Nationals are playing their first World Series in franchise history. It's the Seattle Mariners. The reason? Besides the fact that they're not in it, they've never been in it. The Mariners are the only team in the MLB that have never been to a World Series. They last made the playoffs in 2001. Futures pointed higher. This is Bloomberg. Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit burdenllp.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen. They solve. They do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are now little changed this morning along with European shares. Well, stocks in Asia were mixed as trade war headlines took a break and investors digest a string of corporate results. The pound weakening as doubts grow that the U.K. and the E.U. can strike a Brexit deal. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, again, little change. So are Dow and NASDAQ futures. The DAX in Germany is little changed as well. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.74%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.59%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1% or 54 cents at $52.81 a barrel. COMEX gold down about 0.1% at $1.10 to $14.92.80 an ounce. The euro, 1.1095 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2815. And the yen at 108.74. A busy morning for economic data. We're looking for reports on housing starts and building permits out at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with a weekly report on initial jobless claims, industrial production and capacity utilization out at 9:15, and the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index is out at 9:45. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. There is breaking news. According to multiple reports, Democratic Congressman Elijah Cummings of Maryland has died. According to a statement from his office, Cummings died at 2:45 a.m. this morning at Johns Hopkins Hospital due to complications concerning longstanding health challenges. Cummings, who was chairman of the House Oversight Committee, was 68. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says President Trump is having a meltdown. It happened after the president called Pelosi a third-rate politician during a meeting with members of the House and Senate at the White House. That's when Pelosi walked out. In sports, after yesterday's rainout, the Yankees will play Game 4 of the ALCS tonight against the Astros. New York is behind in the series, 2-1. In the NHL, the Capitals won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you for that. It's 5:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Jeffrey Yu is with us this morning, Chief Investment Officer at UBS. We've been watching the back and forth, a lot of volatility with the pound as Brexit negotiations go on ahead of this EU leader summit that's kicking off today. But I'm curious to get your take on how much equities in Europe are focused on these negotiations, Jeff. Jeff, can you hear me? All right, we will try to reestablish contact with Jeffrey Yu from UBS as we continue to watch Brexit developments in Brussels. The EU is warning today's summit may be the last chance to avoid a cliff-edge choice between another delay to Brexit and the economic damage of the UK leaving without a deal. And as we follow those developments in Brussels, the pound is trading weaker against the dollar at the moment. It's at 1.2817 against the dollar. Coming up to 5:21 on Wall Street. Now, let's get the Bloomberg Green Report from Bob Moon.
30 years after the Exxon Valdez oil tanker ran aground, the state of Alaska is looking at whether to change its requirements for spill prevention and response plans. Exxon was widely criticized at the time for not being up to the task of cleaning up what was then the industry's biggest ever oil spill. Alaska's governor at the time, Steve Cowper, saw a need for the state to take over.
Where the existing management structure of this cleanup is not adequate to the task, then we're going to do it ourselves. Independent of that.
Fast forward 3 decades, and State Environmental Conservation Commissioner Jason Brune says he's heard from many Alaskans that contingency plans are unnecessarily burdensome while lacking corresponding environmental benefits. Environmental groups are skeptical, complaining that officials have failed to adequately explain the need for any changes, and they fear the process could lead to a watering down of environmental regulations. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Okay, Bob, thank you. I understand we have Jeffrey Yu from UBS back on the line with us. Jeff, are you there?
Hi. Yes, I am.
All right. Good morning, Jeff. Thanks again for being with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm curious to get your take on how much European equities are focused on Brexit developments. How much is riding on stocks for what happens in Brussels?
Probably not as much at this point. You know, while I think Europe has openly acknowledged the hard Brexit is going to be detrimental to the Eurozone economy, I don't think it ranks top of their priorities right now. You know, what's going on globally, the trade war, you know, things like that are far more important. So I think the news has been reported that maybe Germany is coming around to the idea of a stimulus. You know, Merkel made a few comments along those lines yesterday. So the prospect of that demand kick, you know, from the Eurozone's largest economy is probably going to be much more important, as is going to be the case with global demand. So on that note, you know, let's watch German manufacturing numbers, some of the cyclical indicators, you know, rather than what's going on with Brexit.
All right. But in terms of the Brexit story, what are you thinking is going to come out of this summit? Is it going to be another delay? Could we actually see a deal?
Well, your guess is as good as mine, right? It's really quite fluid right now. The Democratic Unionist Party, so the Prime Minister's allies within the House of Commons, whose votes are crucial to any chance of passage. You know, they said earlier this morning that as things stand, they cannot support the deal. You know, but again, you know, there are quite a few moving parts. You know, are some last minute adjustments and concessions from either side going to push this through? So it's one of those things that we won't know until we know.
Yeah, and I suppose that could be the case as well when it comes to the U.S.-China trade deal. What are you thinking now that China is saying that we could be getting closer to a text that the two leaders could agree to next month at the APEC summit?
Right. So, yeah, I think that is pretty much what the market's working on. And the comments earlier today from the Ministry of Commerce seem to support that. Of course, this phase one deal, that covers perhaps more of the tariff side of things. We know that many other and outstanding issues as yet unresolved, which the interesting thing for markets, I guess, is whether they can be managed separately from the tariff and side of things. Again, yeah, that's an open question, but it does seem like both in Washington D.C. and Beijing want to reach some form of accommodation on this matter alone, and are willing to reach an agreement in isolation for this. But let's be clear, the bilateral relationship, there are going to be many challenges for both the short and the long term.
Jeffrey Yu of UBS, Chief Investment Officer there. Again, Jeff, thanks for being with us, as always, here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Taking a look at the markets at the moment, kind of wait-and-see mode with S&P futures higher, but by just 2 points. Dow futures ahead by 14 points, and NASDAQ futures a gain of almost 6. The 10-year Treasury yield, 1.74%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Withum. Withum's financial services team combines private equity markets expertise with deep industry insights to address the advisory, audit, and tax needs of your fund's portfolio companies. Visit Withum.com/PE for more information.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Eisner Amper. Taxes are one of the certainties of life, but what worked for corporate taxpayers in the past may not work today. Eisner Amper can help. Visit EisnerAmper.com/tax certainty.
We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The pound was falling earlier. It has since turned around. There were doubts about a Brexit deal as a summit gets underway in Brussels today. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson's political allies in Northern Ireland said they couldn't support the current framework for an agreement.
Shares of Netflix are up 7.5% in the pre-market. Earnings topped analyst estimates, and the company delivered enough good news, particularly internationally, to allay concerns about looming competition from Disney and Apple.
IBM shares are down more than 4% after the company reported third quarter revenue that missed Wall Street estimates. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The long-awaited revenue infusion from Red Hat failed to compensate for continued declines in other parts of its business. Total revenue was $18 billion in the 3 months ending September 30th, down 3.9% from a year earlier. Analysts had forecast $18.2 billion. It marks the fifth consecutive quarter of shrinking sales at IBM, while analysts have been looking for signs that Red Hat, which was incorporated for the first time in those results, would change the narrative. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. In Europe, shares of Ericsson are up more than 7.5%. The Swedish equipment vendor reported third quarter results that beat analyst estimates. It also raised its sales target for 2020.
On the economic front, industrial production probably dropped in September. Economists say a 0.2% loss, which would be the second decline in 3 months. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has the story.
The Fed's report tracks output at factories, mines, and utilities, and the General Motors strike will probably affect today's data. Bloomberg Economics estimates the walkout has cut GM production by more than 10%. That drop, in turn, could push total U.S. factory output down by an estimated 0.4%. On Wednesday, the Fed's Beige Book survey said persistent trade tensions and slower global growth are also weighing on America's manufacturers. Vinny Gouch, nice Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. HSBC may partially exit stock trading in some developed Western markets. Sources say equity sales and trading units in France, Germany, the U.S., and the U.K. are likely to be scaled back. HSBC's Asian equities operation is not affected by the review.
And as we mentioned, the pound turning around, it's climbing as RTE says a Brexit deal has been done. The pound is now up 0.5% against the dollar at 1.2893. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thank you. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. There is breaking news. Democratic Congressman Elijah Cummings of Maryland has died. According to a statement from his office, Cummings died at 2:45 a.m. this morning at Johns Hopkins Hospital due to complications concerning longstanding health challenges. Cummings, who was chairman of the House Oversight Committee, was 68. The U.S. ambassador to the United Nations is urging Turkey to halt its offensive in northeastern Syria and declare a ceasefire immediately. Kelly Kraft said after a closed Security Council meeting on Turkey's military action that the offensive is undermining the campaign to defeat the Islamic State extremist group, endangering civilians, and threatening regional peace and stability. There is a rift now between President Donald Trump and his closest allies regarding Syria. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
After the House overwhelmingly rebuked the president's pulling troops from Syria, his closest ally, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, and Senator Lindsey Graham parted with his policy on this.
You know, as messy as Syria was, this was working pretty well.
The best bet for the United States is to have a Kurdish-U.S. partnership to continue to keep ISIS at bay, keep your foot on their throat, and to keep Iran out.
And then the president turned on Mr. Graham.
I want to get out of the Middle East. I think Lindsey should focus right now on judiciary.
Later in the day, his meeting cut short as Democratic leaders walked out, Speaker Nancy Pelosi saying it was a Trump meltdown. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The third victim in Saturday's partial collapse of the Hard Rock Hotel in New Orleans has not been located. Authorities have made the difficult decision to move from rescue mode to recovery mode at the construction site. New Orleans Fire Chief Tim McConnell.
Our hearts go out to the family of the people who were lost and to the one individual who we have never actually been able to put our sights on. But all of our indicators have proven that he did not survive this tragedy.
Two other bodies were recovered earlier. Chicago's teachers' strike begins this morning with classes already canceled citywide. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burton Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, Masahiro Tanaka has been a great postseason starter for the Yankees in seven starts. He's 5-2, a 1.32 ERA. He's won both his starts this October, and the ERA is under one. Yanks need Tanaka to keep rolling tonight. Pretty much must win at the stadium. Game four of the ALCS with Houston having won the last two. Zach Greinke for the Astros in the regular season. Greinke went 18-5. His ERA was under three, but in two postseason starts, 0-2. ERA over 8. This was supposed to be the matchup for Game 5, but last night was rained out, so Game 5 is now tomorrow on what would have been a travel day, and it'll be the Game 2 starters, James Paxton and Justin Verlander. If there's a Game 6 Saturday in Houston, that's when both teams would likely use their bullpens throughout the game. That was the plan for both teams had they played last night. Not known if Giancarlo Stanton can return. He's missed the last two games with a groin injury. Three Yankees in particular need to get going. Gary Sanchez, D.D. Gregorius, and Edwin Encarnacion, a combined 3-37 in the series. The Angels, in an expected move, hired Joe Maddon as their new manager. The Giants only a game out of first place as they host Arizona Sunday, and not only is Saquon Barkley going to return from his injured ankle, tight end Evan Engram is back from a knee injury. Here's Engram on Barkley.
I mean, playing with him is already fun. You know, he brings a crazy element to the game. He's a special talent, so getting him back out there, playing at home in front of our fans, it's going to be a really good energy, and it's going to be fun to have everybody out there.
Week 7 begins tonight. Kansas City at Denver. Preseason NBA at the Garden. Atlanta beat the Knicks 100-96. Julius Randle, 20 points in the loss. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashel.
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker now confirms on Twitter that a deal on Brexit has been reached with the UK. He calls it a testament to their commitment to find solutions and a fair and balanced agreement. The pound is spiking on the news now at 1.2944 against the dollar. We'll have much more on the way here on Bloomberg Radio. 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on Tesla's drive for autonomous vehicles. Also in this week's issue, Juul's legal problems continue as health concerns grow over use of its vaping product. Lauren Etter wrote that story for Bloomberg Business Week.
Early on, Juul laid out a marketing campaign that was pretty much designed to attract kids.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week on newsstands now and online at businessweek.com. Terminal customers can subscribe to the magazine at MAG Go, and you can listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street. That's time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Khoury. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Nathan. Some of Greenwich's longest lingering luxury homes have found buyers in the third quarter after their owners agreed to deep discounts. 22 high-end homes were on the market for an average of 261 days before going under contract. That's a jump from 130 days a year earlier. New Jersey labor auditors are investigating Uber and Lyft. They want to find out if those rideshare companies are wrongly classifying drivers as independent contractors and should be on the hook for employment taxes. A Federal Reserve measure of services in New York State tumbled in October. Dropping for the first time since the end of 2016, the index of activity at service firms in New York, northern New Jersey, and southwestern Connecticut fell to minus 4.3 from 4.9. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Much appreciated, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Poduskin on KNX in Los Angeles. We're looking at quarterly results from Netflix.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WHAM 1180 in Rochester, New York, I'm reporting that IBM's third quarter revenue missed estimates.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the DUP's statement that they can't back Boris Johnson's Brexit deal.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. The Federal Communications Commission has approved the T-Mobile Sprint deal.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm reporting on Barney's New York selection of the rescue buyout bid by Authentic Brands.
I'm Tom Busby, and on WGY in Albany, I'm reporting on New York State lawmakers possibly reclassifying gig economy contract workers like Uber drivers so they get benefits.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting the General Motors agreement reached with the UAW includes $9 billion in investment in U.S. plants.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Seems the Democratic Unionists in Northern Ireland may be on board now with a Brexit deal. The EU and the UK are both reporting they have struck an agreement. We're going to have much more straight ahead with Bloomberg opinion columnist Therese Raphael. Get the very latest developments on Brexit. Futures pointed higher as well. This is Bloomberg. And the Tri-State Business Report was brought to you by Virgin Atlantic. Over 300 hours of onboard entertainment, flat beds for napping and afternoon tea, daily nonstop flights to the UK in partnership with Delta Airlines.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures turned higher along with European shares as a new Brexit deal was announced and investors digest a string of corporate results. The pound is also surging. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 12.5 points. Dow futures up 114. NASDAQ futures up 38. The DAX in Germany is up 1% now. 10-year Treasury down 14.30 seconds. Yield 1.78%. The yield on the two-year 1.63%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 9 cents at $53.27 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.33% or $5.10 at $14.88.90 an ounce. The euro, 1.1120. The yen is at 108.92. And the British pound now up 0.8% against the dollar at 1.2931. We're going to have much more on that Brexit deal in just a moment as Bloomberg Daybreak continues. But first, a check of what's going on around the world. Here is Michael Barr. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Maryland Representative Elijah Cummings died early this morning. According to Cummings' office, he died at Johns Hopkins Hospital due to complications from long-standing health challenges. Cummings became the powerful chairman of the House Oversight and Reform Committee, leading multiple investigations into President Trump's governmental dealings. Elijah Cummings was 68. In sports, after yesterday's rainout, the Yankees will play Game 4 of the ALCS tonight against the Astros. In the NHL, the Capitals won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries, I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Opinion, informed perspectives, and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
And it's just before 5:49 on Wall Street. It is time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. Columnist Therese Raphael joins us from our London bureau on the breaking news. The European Union and the United Kingdom announcing from Brussels they have reached a deal on Brexit. What do we know about this agreement so far, Therese?
Okay, well, as you know, this is just broken, and we are still waiting, as far as I know, for the DUP leader, Arlene Foster, to confirm that that the Democratic Unionist Party is also on board for this. So Boris Johnson has been tweeted from his Twitter account. Jean-Claude Juncker, the European Commission president, has said we have a deal. All eyes are really on the DUP, whose support is considered absolutely essential to getting it through Parliament. But this, you know, doesn't look like a false alarm. Clearly, it's come from the very highest levels, and Johnson is now due to be in Brussels for the summit, and we are waiting to hear from Michel Barnier, the chief European negotiator, on what they've achieved.
And we're just seeing a headline now crossing the Bloomberg terminal. The Democratic Unionist Party is saying its position on the Brexit deal is unchanged. This is crucial.
Yeah, this is really this is really interesting. I think it would be have been surprising to see the DUP at this point say yes, only because you know, it seemed as of yesterday that the distance between their two positions was still substantial. The DUP, it was thought, had conceded on how to treat customs, basically putting checks along the Irish Sea, but they had not agreed on a consent mechanism for giving the Northern Irish Assembly a say on these new arrangements, a regular say. So there was still some ways to go. Boris Johnson described it as a distance between the Hillary step on Mount Everest and the summit. So, you know, let's not jump the gun here. Mm-hmm. It would be a significant, achievement had they managed to do this in this time, because from the DUP's perspective, they could probably still hold out for a short extension at least and try to get more out of the government. But the DUP also has a very delicate balancing act. They don't want to be blamed for no deal. Their community also needs a deal, because Northern Irish farmers will be very much disadvantaged by a no deal exit. So, you know, they're playing a very, very delicate sort of mm-hmm. balancing game between these various interests.
What more concessions is the DUP looking for, and how would the UK as a whole respond to what the DUP is looking for?
Well, the DUP's blood red line, as they call it, is that Northern Ireland must not be treated differently from the rest of the UK. That is the heart of unionism, and that's what the DUP was set up to and to defend. Now, if they've agreed that some kind of customs checks can happen along the Irish Sea, that does seem to cross that line. And the only way they would be expected to sign off on that is if they have an opportunity down the road to somehow change the terms or have a continued consent. And that was what Boris Johnson's proposals offered them, a chance every 4 years to say no. Dublin didn't like that. They said it gave the DUP an effective veto. And so that is presumably what they've been haggling about. And the DUP is, if they're still saying no, not willing to accept the concessions. Now, if Johnson is announcing a deal, that could also suggest that he thinks he will have the votes in Parliament even without the DUP. And that's a little bit hard to see right now.
Yeah, I was going to ask, I mean, where would he get further support given where the other parties stand on his terms?
Right. Well, the DUP has only 10 MPs, which doesn't seem like it would be decisive, except their votes are tied to hardline Brexiters in the Conservative Party, at least the 28 so-called Spartans who rejected Theresa May's deal three times and would be unlikely to support a deal that didn't have unionist support. Remember, it's a Conservative and Unionist Party. So, you know, this is a core value of these Brexiters. You know, on the other hand, it's not impossible that that Boris Johnson has convinced enough people to support his deal that he could move on without the DUP. It's, you know, it's very difficult to see that now, but, you know, perhaps he feels confident that he's done that, in which case, you know, Arlene Foster might have overplayed her hand and come out without, you know, having not used the maximum leverage that she has. So that all remains to be seen. What seems likely is that we are going to see Parliament sit on Saturday and possibly vote on a deal. Now, it matters whether they're voting on a meaningful vote on the full text of a deal, or whether it's, say, an indicative vote on an outline text. All of that we'll have to learn in the course of today.
Obviously, many more developments to come, though, as we head toward that Saturday sitting in Parliament. And in the meantime, the pound continues to rise against the dollar at 129.37. Bloomberg Opinion columnist Therese Raphael, thank you. As always, read more from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN. Go on the Bloomberg terminal. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. Now, other legal news we're watching this morning. The Supreme Court heard oral arguments yesterday in a case that could dramatically change the landscape of immigration enforcement in this country by bolstering the power of the states to prosecute undocumented immigrants for identity theft if they use someone else's Social Security number to apply for a job. For more on the case, Bloomberg's Dune Grasso speaks with Leon Fresco, a partner at Holland & Knight, who was formerly the head of the Immigration Litigation Office at the Justice Department.
This is about three illegal immigrants who got restaurant jobs using other people's Social Security numbers. Why is this at the Supreme Court?
Well, it's at the Supreme Court because it is about a more important principle with regard to whether states can take it upon themselves to enforce the immigration law. And what the complication of this case is that the states are saying that they're not enforcing the immigration law, that what they're doing is they're enforcing identity theft provisions that prevent undocumented workers from using the identities of other people in order to get jobs. And what the people challenging these convictions are saying is that, no, if the information is coming from the very process that an employee uses to obtain a job and obtain immigration authorization to have that job, then it's something that a state cannot take upon themselves to prosecute. It must be prosecuted by the federal government.
Didn't the Supreme Court deal with this in a case involving Arizona trying to use identity theft laws to prosecute non-citizens for working illegally in 2012?
Sure. So this is where it's complicated, is Arizona passed a broad range of laws that allowed the states to take over the same immigration enforcement functions that the federal government did. And one of them was prosecuting people who work without authorization in the United States. And so that was stricken down. And the question is, because that broad provision that was prosecuting anyone who worked illegally in the United States was stricken down, the question is, what is to happen about this narrow identity theft part of it? Is this to be something that is permitted because any identity theft could be prosecuted regardless of whether you were undocumented or not? Or is it subsumed by the larger holding of Arizona, which is, look, the role of prosecutions in the employment process that have to do with people lying for immigration-related reasons has to be taken up by the federal government, and the states simply are preempted from taking this role.
And that's Leon Fresco, a partner at Holland & Knight, speaking with Bloomberg's Dune Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. And again, the pound is jumping to a five-month high. Stocks are rising in Europe, futures as well, on news of a Brexit deal. And we will have much more straight ahead as Bloomberg Daybreak continues.